everybody. Praise the Lord. Hope everyone's doing well. So glad to see y'all with us tonight. And those of you watching on the live feed tonight, welcome, welcome. We love and miss you. We're going to go ahead and stand and go to the Lord in prayer and ask for if there's any spoken prayer request on my right side tonight. Yes, ma'am.
I've got several, so I'm just going to say I got some unspoken ones. But also, let's, I don't know her last name now, Sister Charlotte Peel. Her daughter passed away yesterday and the funeral was Friday. And bless her heart, she was coming out of the funeral home today and she failed and just messed this whole side of her face up. Also, she went to the hospital now and they said she might have a slight concussion. But y'all remember that family, they really need to be uplifted.
Absolutely. Ms. Morgan, I see your hand.
I have to see the funeral Michelle. She was tonight off her bed. She's going to have to see retina specialist and have a procedure done. And then I posted that a friend at work, student friend, her name is Mary, has contracted COVID. I think she's in her early 60s, but she's not doing well. And she's really good about, in addition, her husband, because he's a doctor that had an immediate concern. So he wants to take care of her.
Anyone else on my right side who's spoken prayer request tonight? All right. Anyone on my left side tonight who's spoken prayer request? Yes, Ms. Jenny. Anyone else? The congregation? I don't want to miss anyone. Anyone from the roster?
Okay. Brother Thomas, I see you.
I just want to pray for all everybody to pray for my cousin's wife, Crystal, and her surgery for her cancer. Praise God that they got everything. The doctor actually came in and moved over that she's cancer free. And he's waiting on some other stuff to come back, but he said, right now, I think you're cancer free. And said, we may not even have to do any chemo. So
praise
I thank God. He's an awesome God. And he does it, it's done right.
Amen. 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 Anyone else in the roster tonight?
To help pray for my mom and dad. They're getting up in years and just can't get around to do the things they used to do. And same stuff too. I want everybody to pray for my children. I'd like to see them back in the church.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Alrighty. Everybody have an unspoken prayer request? Just show by raising your hand. Oh, God sees each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you tonight. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity you've given us to gather in your house and in your mighty name. Dear Lord, again, as we stand here this evening, as we open up this service with prayer, Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord. Dear Lord, may we just lift you up, honor you, and praise you for all your many blessings, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, now we know that you've heard this prayer request tonight, though spoken and unspoken. Lord, we know that you're there with us at all times. And, dear Lord, we're placing each and every situation into your mighty hands. Dear Lord, for healing, for protecting those that have lost a loved one, dear Lord, letting them feel the peace that only you can provide. Lord, for the testimonies of praise, dear Lord, for those procedures and how well you brought them through. And, dear Lord, we know there are a lot waiting on test results. And, dear Lord, for whatever situation, dear Lord, their job issues, financial, marital, all the different statuses, dear Lord, that's being brought to you tonight. And, dear Lord, we give you all the honor and glory. Lord, we thank you for your word and for your love and mercy. Lord, now we ask you to bless our pastor and his family, strengthen them, all the ministries that go forth out of our church, dear Lord. We ask that you'll just take them and just use them to multiply you because it is all about you, dear Lord. And we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Amen. Let's give him another hand clap of praise. Praise God. Praise the Lord. While you're standing, everybody turn to page 52. Jesus, hold my hand. I need y'all to help me sing tonight so I can hear y'all a little feedback this evening. Praise God.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend with me.
Church tonight. Amen. And you know, it's a wonderful feeling when no matter what we go through, that we can call on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that we can just let Him hold our hand and guide us through. No matter what journey we're on, no matter what prayer requests that we've put forth tonight, whether spoken or unspoken, that Jesus will hold our hand and be with those situations. And we're going to give Him all the honor and all the glory. We're going to get ready and take up the evening offering tonight. Don't forget about our Samaritan's Purse. I know we've been talking about it. The Operation Christmas Child, the shoe boxes that we do each year. Miss Elaine has the list, and we thank y'all that's already stepped forward in helping. And if anybody would like to help or donate at this time, whether it be a monetary donation or help with the giving or help even in the packing, she's going to be doing that. So we just want to thank y'all for all that's being done already. Don't forget, there's a nursery sign-up. We're getting the nursery started again. And there's a sign up in the foyer if anybody would like to help with the nursery. Sister Autumn's heading it up, and she would ask the Lord to bless her and the nursery, all the things that go forth, to give our children a place to be. I think it's up to 4 years, Miss Autumn. What was the age group? up to four, is that what I heard? Okay, anyway, she'll have all that information. So there's a sign-up sheet, and if you want to ask her any questions, and the more you can get, the less weeks. I think they had it worked out you could be every 4, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it turns out with the volunteers. And also, men, don't forget our Band of Brothers, October 17th. We're all going to Alabama to the lake for that day. Brother Billy said that they're going to work up a sign-up sheet so we can get an idea. It's already back there?
Good.
He's already got the sign-up sheet in the foyer. If you'd like to go, please just sign in, and then we can get with Brother Billy and see what he needs us to bring. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And also, those T-shirts are being ordered. If there's any men that didn't give me their size or like to get one, please let me know. And I'm going to go by there in the morning and get things done. Thank you. Brother Billy, would you ask the Lord just to bless our evening offering, please? Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Derek's are my backup just in case.
The old gray matter ain't what it used to be. I'll be doing the soundtrack track too. You know, the scripture you were mentioning the other day, you know, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills too. You know that? And anyhow, this song, yeah, he owns it all. So I just wanted to tell you the backstory just very briefly. I love this song, and I hope you do too and can worship with me in this. But, you know, we face in this song really, I was hearing it a lot in some of the songs last Sunday night, and it just was going over my heart, and so I knew I needed to do it. But, you know, this song says, you know, there's mountains in our way, but I'm not even going to worry about the mountains. I'm going to look to the one that made the mountains. Amen. Yeah. And that makes me just kind of get excited a little bit when I think about that. This song was on my heart a lot when my mom started going through a lot of what she was going through. And the lyrics, the chorus, it just says, I will lift my eyes to the maker of the mountains that I can't climb. And I will lift my eyes to the calmer of the oceans raging. Go to track two, please.
Mercy sing her melody over me. God, right here, all I bring is all of me. Your kindness is what pulls me up. Your love is all that draws me in. I will lift my eyes to the maker of the mountains I can't climb. I will lift my eyes to the calmer of the oceans raging wild. I will lift my eyes to the healer of the hurt I hold inside. I will lift my eyes, lift my eyes to you. 'Cause you are, as you were, as you will be forever, the lover I need to save. And you fashioned the earth and you hold it together, God, so hold me now. I will lift my eyes to the maker of the mountains I can't climb. I will lift my eyes to the calmer of the oceans raging wild. I will lift my eyes to the healer of the hurt I hold inside. I will lift my eyes, lift my eyes. Oh,
I was debating on what to sing, but I was doing my Bible study today when I got back from the doctor, and it was talking about how he knows my name. And I'm thankful that he knows my name, and no matter what I'm going through, he's going to see me through it. I didn't ask for prayer, but if y'all will just keep me in your prayers, I have several doctor's appointments coming up, but God's able. I'm expecting him to heal. Amen.
Sand is on the shores. He sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures, great and small. And he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, he knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, I can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of my life, but I know in whom I believe, and he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, he knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, I can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name.
Praise his name. When you're up against a wall and your mountain seems so tall and you realize life's not always fair, you can run away let the old man decide. Or you can change your circumstances with a prayer. When everything falls apart, praise His name. When you have a broken heart, raise your hands and say, Lord, you're all I need. You're everything to me, and you'll take the pain away. When it seems you're all alone, praise His name. When you feel you can't go on, raise your hands and say, greater is He that is within me. And you can praise the hurt away. If you'll just praise His name, oh, then you can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. You'll see the darkness go as your faith begins to grow. You're not alone, so how can you be lonely? When everything falls apart, praise His name. When you have a broken heart, raise your hands and say, Lord, you're all I need. You're everything to me, and you'll take the pain away. When it seems you're all alone, praise His name. When you feel you can't go on, is within me, and you can praise the hurt away. Greater is He that is within me, and you can praise the hurt away. If you'll just praise His name.
What some powerful songs of praise. Amen. Praise the hurt away. Aren't you glad He knows your name? Amen. I'm so glad to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I count on it every day. There's a song that says, learning to lean. Man, I learned a long, long time ago to lean on the Lord. Found out that I can't do anything within myself. But I did find out I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me.
Praise God.
We're going to try to fill a request tonight. You ought to see me trying to find the words to that song. I don't know if I wrote them what I could remember down. There's a big blank in them between there.
So. It's up above you.
Up above. This is one of my granddaddy's favorite songs. I'm a poor, poor, rich man. Man, how many can identify with that? May not have a lot down here, but amen. What did you say? My father owns the cattle and the hills. Amen.
Well, I'm a poor, rich man. Yes, I'm a poor, poor, rich man. Oh, you see,
money can't buy. I'm a poor rich man. Now you can usually tell a man by the clothes he wears or the car he's riding in. And you can usually tell if he's doing very well by the house he's living in. Oh, but I'm here to say that it don't work that way with everybody that I know. 'Cause I just got acquainted with some poor rich folks a little while ago. Well, I'm a poor rich man. Yes, I'm a poor rich man. Oh, you see, it really happened.
Two kind of songs, good old fast ones and fast old good ones. That's kind of what he lived by. And I'm sure he's enjoying heaven, amen, probably singing in the choir some of those wonderful songs of praise. Isn't God good? In all of this turmoil, isn't God good? All that the devil throws against us, isn't God good? Amen. I'm so thankful that God is there for us no matter what we face. Anytime, day or night, God is with us, and His precious Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight on a Wednesday. Looking forward, amen, to the anointing of God tonight. If you have your Bibles, we just want to go to the book of 1 John tonight. Thank you for coming out on a Wednesday night. Hope and pray that everything's going well with you. And you've got half of the week made now. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. You're on the downhill side, so looking toward the weekend. But in the book of 1 John tonight, I want to focus on chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. Again, from the book of 1 John, chapter number 5, verse 4 and verse number 5. When you get there, say, praise the Lord. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. The writer says in verse 4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Can we pray? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for this opportunity, this time to come together tonight, God, in one mind and one accord, looking, God, for you to just rain down your Spirit, your anointing upon this congregation. Father, we ask that you'd anoint these lips of clay tonight. God, this vessel, nothing more, God, than just something you can speak to our hearts tonight. God, I thank you for the blessings. I thank you for the healings, for the miracles that you perform. God, and I thank you for those who who seemingly, Lord, have seemingly turned their ways over to you, Lord, and I pray that they would continue to do that. God, we're seeing a move in this nation, and I thank God for that. I pray, God, that you would prick the lost souls, help them to come to an altar of confession, Lord, and repentance, and accept Jesus Christ. Lord, and I pray right now, God, that you would just lead us, guide us, and direct us, and we'll be careful to give you praise and honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Anyone have a burning testimony tonight before we get into the Word of the Lord? Has God just done anything special for you that you'd just like to stand and share? Amen. All righty. Go right ahead, sister. Amen. Praise God. Sure. Praise God. Amen. How many of you know faith is the key? Faith is the key. I like what she said. Turn it over to the Lord. Go ahead and pray for it. Believe in, amen, and expect God to do His part. We serve a mighty big God. Thank you for that testimony. I think I know now why I asked somebody to testify. Tonight I want to bring a message, and bear with me. It's entitled, Allowing Victory in Your Life. Allowing, yes, I meant to say allowing victory in your life. How many loves victory? You know, Daddy always tried to tell us that, you know, you need to learn how to be a good loser. I said, I'd rather be a good winner. Anytime. You know, I know what he was trying to say. That, you know, life is full of times and challenges, and sometimes we're not going to always come out on top. But that's not the case when we're a child of God. How many knows that we are victorious? Amen. We are on the winning side. Allowing victory in your life. Now, John here mentions something. He's talking to basically the church here, and he's telling them that we need to keep his commandments and do those things that are right in the eyes of the Lord. But then he says something very important here as far as having victory in our life and being an overcomer. How many knows that we are overcomers? The Bible tells us that we are overcomers. We do have victory. As Brother Jim loves that song, Victory in Jesus. He knows where his victory comes from. But he talks about here, he said, whatsoever, or basically in the Amplified, whosoever, is born of God, overcometh the world. So there is a specific type of people that John is referring to. He's talking about those who have been born again. Amen. Those who have had a relationship or do have a relationship with the Lord. Those who have invited His Spirit into their life. Now, when we invite the Spirit of the Lord into our life, as we say so often, we expect Him to be our Savior. But we also need to understand to let Him be the Lord of our life. And being the Lord of our life, He needs to govern our life. Not just in church, but every day of our life. Decisions that we need to make, things that we do in our families and our job and whatever it is, need to be centered around the will of God. So He's talking about a specific group of people. Those who are born again. Those who have accepted Jesus Christ into their life. Those who have come to an altar of repentance, a convicted heart, and give their life to Jesus. And as we preach Sunday, the precious blood of Jesus Christ is the only redeeming factor, the only redeeming thing that can wash the sin stain of our life. So we have a born-again experience here. And because we have a born-again experience here, John says, we overcome the world. And because we overcome the world, then we have the victory that is in our lives. So what I'm trying to say is if with the infilling of the Spirit of the Lord comes victory already. Susan, the victory is already there. The victory is there. You said it right. Sometimes we don't see it. But the reason we don't see it is because faith is the key that uses that victory, amen, in our life. It unlocks the door for victory to become in our life. And as I was thinking and praying this week, as God was reminding me how victorious we are. Because, you know, the human nature is to dwell on the bad things, the negative things, and see what's not going right in our life. And so many times we dwell on that and the things around us rather than dwelling on the things that are good. There's a song, an old song, it says, talk about the good things. Don't talk about the things or the times you were down and out. Talk about how God brought you out. And you have to govern yourself. You have to make yourself remember those things and think on those good things and dwell on those good things. Because if you dwell on the other things, you'll go around in deep despair and most of the time in a depressed mood most of the day. But we need to be reminded that we are overcomers. And what does overcomers mean? It means basically we have victory in our life. Learning to live a victorious life. Why would I use the word allowing? It's because we have to allow the victory in our life. And the reason we have to allow that is because so many times the victory, we don't see it, but we know that we have victory in our life. We have to understand that faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. We can't always see the answer. We can't always see the proverbial light at the end of the tunnel. But because we have victory in our life, we know that it is coming. Susan, the prayer that you've been praying, it is time to step out on faith. It is time to receive it. It's time to take hold of it and say, thank you, Lord, for answering this prayer. I want to praise you and glorify you for answering this prayer. And I know you probably have heard this story time and time again, but I think it bears telling again because it is so obvious, a wonderful point with what John is speaking of, is allowing our faith, amen, to govern our victory. Many years ago, you remember me telling that my little brother, we were playing in the backyard. Well, actually, it was in the front yard of our aunt and uncles. They were just moving in. We had these big boxes. We had broken those boxes down. You know how kids do. And we had made us a rodeo stable. That's what we were doing. And two of the bigger cousins, myself and another cousin, we were the bucking broncos. And my little cousin and my little brother, they were the cowboys. They were riding on our backs. And we was having a good time throwing them off on the cardboard, just laughing, cutting up, and having a good time until my brother was thrown off of my cousin and landed on his arm, and it just really broke his right in the elbow, a really, really bad fracture. And they took him to the hospital, and it was in Rottmart. They couldn't do anything in Rottmart. They said it was too severe, so they rushed him on to Rome, and they set it. And, you know, I'll try to spare you from all of the details, but over a period of time, the doctor had told them that after the cast, and they had it in traction and all that, they told him, or told mother and dad, that his arm would never be able to be completely straight. It was his left arm. He said it would always have a bend in it, it would always have a crook, and as he got older, it would be very difficult for him to even touch the back of his head. So, sure enough, when the cast was out and the traction was done and Dennis was back in school and all, he had that a little bit of curve in his arm. He couldn't straighten it down. Well, Mother wasn't satisfied with that because we were raised to believe that all things are possible to him that believe it. So she took him up to the altar and had him anointed and prayed for. And the elders gathered around. It was at the church at Rottmart. They anointed with oil. They prayed for him, and they prayed that his arm would be made straight. Well, he went home that night with a crooked arm. Later on, he still had a crooked arm. Weeks went by, he still had a crooked arm. And Mother would pray and pray and pray. And finally, the Lord just kind of laid it on her heart like the Lord just laid it on your heart. Why don't you claim victory? Why don't you go ahead and testify about his healing? And you know, you can imagine what Mother thought. Well, people will think I'm crazy if I stand up and testify that God has healed my son's arm and made it straight when everybody can see that it's crooked. You see how you have to use your victory sometimes? You have to use your faith to see things that are not, amen, as though they are. So she obeyed. She had been living for the Lord a number of years, and she stood in the home church there, and she said, I want to thank God for healing Dennis's arm and making it straight when the doctor said it would never be able to be straight as his other arm, and I just want to praise God for touching him and healing him and making his arm straight. Well, he went home that night with a crooked arm. Weeks went by. Months went by. Every opportunity in our church, she'd have an opportunity to testify. She would stand and testify about God healing Dennis's arm and making it straight. Still crooked. So we had, at that particular time, we were having youth rallies in the surrounding area. There were three or four churches, and this particular youth rally was held in Rome, Georgia. So all the churches and the youth rally together. It was a mighty move of God. God was blessing. God was anointing. Using young folks. Just powerful, powerful move of God. Just really, really feeling the presence of God. God spoke to my mother and said, you need to stand and testify and witness about Dennis's arm being healed. And mother was thinking, well, you know, it's all right to do it in your home church because they know me. But here with the audience of three or four other churches, you know, that's going to be a little bit maybe embarrassing, you know. But God just kept dealing with her. So finally, toward the end of the service, she stood up and she said, can I please testify? So she told about Dennis's arm and how he broke it and how the doctor said it would never be straight and how that she had took him to the altar and had him prayed for and God had healed his arm and it was just going to be just as straight as the other one. Dennis went home with a crooked arm. And everybody that was there saw that Dennis had a crooked arm. I imagine some of the people may have felt sorry for mother, said, bless her heart. She's probably thinking that, you know, that Dennis's arm is straight and if you look at it, it's really crooked. But just want to tell you the end of the story. Several months passed by. I don't know how long it was, but mother had a way of watching us play in the yard. She was kind of one of those helicopter mothers, kind of overprotective. And we were out in the yard, and we were swinging. And, Dennis and I was really getting, you know, swinging real good. And she looked, and Dennis was holding on the chain. And she looked and saw something a little different. And then when we got out of the swing, you know, Dennis was standing there, and she looked, and she had to do this. She had to rub her eyes again, and she looked, and Dennis's arm was completely straight. She don't know when it happened. She just knew that it happened. And she just started praising and glorifying and praising God. God had already let her know that she's got victory, but she hadn't seen it yet. So you have to allow that victory to work in your life, even when it doesn't look like victory, even when it looks like things are bad, even when it looks like your prayers are not being answered, even when it looks like God said no to your prayer, you still got to let that victory operate in your life, and you still got to do it by faith. And faith is believing that you ask for those things, and God can do what nobody else can do. Amen? The doctor said it'd never be straight until this day. It's just as straight as the other one. Never had any problem with it whatsoever. God is a great God and a mighty God. We have to allow that victory to operate in our life. We have to allow that victory, amen, to produce the faith that gives us that ability to say, you know what, God, it's done. And sometimes it's not the most pleasant thing to do to stand and testify or claim victory in our life when we can't see the effects of doing it. So victory is already present in a believer. In a believer. And I believe that's who that John was talking about. He said, for whatsoever, basically whosoever, is born of God. Now, you know, I think that means more than just a natural birth. I believe he's referring to a spiritual rebirth, a born-again experience with the Lord. And, you know, if you ever applied for a job, and you know the main thing is the job is the salary or whatever, but a lot of jobs come with other fringe benefits. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. You know, let me just kind of give you a hint. When you're interviewing for a job, don't ask about all the fringe benefits and all how many days of vacation and all that. There'll come a time for that. First of all, you tell that person, I'm ready to work and I'm ready to be promoted and I'm ready to rise to the top of this company. Because when we were interviewing, when people come in and all they want to talk about was, how many sick days do I get? Or how many days of vacation? Likely that person's got something else on their mind. I just thought I'd throw that in. But when we receive the Spirit of God, not only are we born again, not only are we given power, power that the Bible tells us, we receive the power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon us. Power that will never run out. Power that is unlimited. Power within us. The power, amen, to rebuke Satan. The power to heal the sick, not us, but the power that is within us through faith and power in the Word of the Lord. We have these wonderful benefits, but if we just store them inside our spirit and never operate them or never use them, then it's going to be hard for us to allow victory in our life. We have to allow victory in our life when things don't look too victorious, when things look down and out. God reminded me of that this week because I have a tendency, as many other people do, to let the things of the world kind of affect my mindset sometimes. I'm affected by things around me. I'm affected by things I see on the television. I'm affected by things that I read about. And sometimes, you know, it makes us question what in the world is going on in this world. But can I assure you tonight that God is not confused about what's going on in the world? You and I may not understand it. We may not. There may be days when we say, my goodness, you know, what is happening? But the Lord has it all under control. I believe that with all of my heart. And we have to allow that victory to speak to us. We have to allow that victory to take charge over that dread, over that fear, over all of the despair and all those things that come against us by living in a world with a lot of problems. So if we allow it to give us hope, we allow it to give us that overcoming mindset. How many knows that you have to have a mindset to be an overcomer? We all have problems. We all have mountains to climb. We got valleys to go through. We got issues. Amen. We got all kinds of things that come against us. And Satan knows exactly what to throw in our way. He knows what to use as a stumbling block. But whatever comes our way, I believe that we have greater power. In fact, greater is he that is within us, amen, than he that is in the world or he that comes against us. But how do we allow the victory in our life? Mindset. Faith. Here's what he says. He says, victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So faith and believing goes hand in hand. If we are a believer, and I believe that when we're infilled with the Spirit of God, we are a believer. You can call yourself a Christian. You can call yourself a born-again saint of God. Whatever you want to refer to yourself, we understand that there has been a transformation in our life. The Bible says we become a new creature. He also says that old things are passed away and all things have become new. How many is glad tonight that things become new in your life? I was very, very thankful that I had a brand new start. Some people call it a do-over, whatever you want to call it. Amen. I was able, because of the love and the grace and the mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I was allowed to have a do-over. I was allowed, amen, for the Spirit of the Lord to come into my life, change my attitude, change my way of thinking, change my conversation, and most of all, change that spirit that is within me. Out with the old man, in with the new man. The new man is the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit that God infills us with so that we automatically become victorious. So when we say, I got to get victory, we're really not saying the right thing. We got to use the victory. Does that make sense to anybody? Because it comes as a package deal. It comes as a fringe benefit. If you're born again, you got victory. Now, are you going to allow that victory to exhibit itself or to produce itself in your life? Are you going to keep it hid? Are you going to say, look at all the bad things. Look what's happening to me. Why is all this going on? Rather than use the victory by faith. Amen. Faith is something that even doctors are realizing that it works. They may not call it faith, but you got to think positive. Well, faith is thinking positive in a negative situation. Amen. Believing not what man says, but believing what God says. 1 Corinthians 2 and 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but rather in the power of God. Can't tell you how many times I have referred to that one little scripture. It just illuminated my life. It changed so many things. It changed fear, amen, into victory. It changed a hopeless situation into a possibility for God to come in and get honor and glory. Now, when God does give us victory in our life, we need to praise Him. We need to thank Him. We need to testify and be a witness for God's healing power, His delivering power, His saving power, whatever the situation is. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you and I could ever ask or even think. What a mighty God we serve, amen, that's able to know the situations in our life. So let's look at it again. Allowing victory in our life. First of all, you must be born again. Remember that. The Bible talks about salvation and the salvation plan, that you're born again. Now, when you're born again, Honestly, we get these fringe benefits. We get this package deal. We get not only salvation for our soul, we not only a do-over where God washes away those things. And let me just kind of pause right there and tell you to quit letting the devil tell you about what you was in your life in the past. Amen. It's under the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on. Forget it. Go forward. Amen. Do like Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind me, I press toward the mark. Amen. And I press toward the mark by faith. In fact, it takes faith to be born again. It takes faith to be saved, to believe that Jesus is and that He is a Redeemer of our soul. So being born again is the key factor here. When we're born again, we have the victory in our life. What are we going to do with the victory? We have to allow that victory to work within our life. We're overcomers, and victory is already present in a believer. Now he says that he said, overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, if you're one of those that says, you know, I just can't seem to get faith. Well, according to the Bible, you already have faith. Because according to the Bible, every man, meaning woman too, is given a measure of faith. A measure. Now, what do you think in measure? If you think a measure is a little bitty measure, that's about how much faith you're going to exhibit. But if you think a measure is a bucket full, amen, I can do exceedingly abundantly above. Amen. I can do all things through Christ. If you use that measure of faith that God has given you, then you are allowing that victory to work in your life. What ignites victory? Faith. What ignites a fire? A spark. If you got just a measure of faith, what the Bible says, a faith is a grain of mustard seed. Somebody gave me some mustards here. That's a bunch of faith right there. That's a whole bottle of mustard seed. My Lord have mercy. How many mountains would that move? Because the Bible says if you've got a faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, be moved and cast into the sea. Now, whether that's a physical mountain or a spiritual mountain, that pertains whatever's in your life. Amen. Sometimes spiritual mountains are bigger than those natural mountains. Come on, can I get a witness? You ever had one of those big old mountains staring at you, one of those big old problems, one of those big old situations, and you know what we do? We say, I have tried everything. Nothing works. Well, you've tried everything but the right thing. You've got victory. According to the Word of God, you already got it. Victory's here. Are you going to use it? Are you going to exhibit it? Are you going to, by faith, let that victory ignite in your life and wake up in the morning and say, you know what? I'm not, the young folks have got something now. In fact, some of my grandkids use it on me every once in a while. Let me tell you something. Born again child of God is not a loser. Glory to God. Amen. We're a winner. Amen. We are a winner. I've looked in the back of the book. We are a winner. We're victorious. Amen. Not because of us, but all because of Him. Amen. Not because of what we can do, but all because of what He can do. Amen. Allowing that victory in your life, allowing it to operate, allowing it to do what it is supposed to do, not keeping it hid, not keeping it compacted in our life and never using it. And you say, Brother, how you do it? Because you're constantly walking around and you're worrying and you're doubting your situation. And some of you are even doubting your salvation. And I say some of you, I'm talking about society as a whole. Many, many people are down and out. They let every little thing worry them. And, you know, their nerves are frazzled. And God doesn't want us to be in that condition. God wants us to be and act like believers and acting like believers. We need to let that victory operate in our life. Victory operate in our life even when it seems like it's not a victorious situation. Even when it seems like victory is far, far away, we still need to promote that victory that's in our life. Calling those things done, even when we cannot see the effects of those things being done in our life. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Do you understand that that's the Word of God? We're overcomers. We're more than conquerors, the Bible says. But overcoming those things that are in the world, those things that worry us, those things that sometimes we stress out about, we've already got the victory over those. And our victory comes through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He that is within me, amen, is greater than any problem I'll ever, ever face. I believe it was Sister Sharon Somerville, you sang, bigger than any mountain. Bigger than any mountain. is my God. Whether that be a mountain of fear, a mountain of doubt, a mountain of dead, a mountain of whatever it is. Amen. We're not supposed to live in a situation when we're born again, fearing and dreading and thinking everything in the world is falling apart around us. Because we got victory in our life. Amen. We need to understand to allow that victory to work. Let it shine in our life. Amen. Let it illuminate. My brother, Brother Keith, I was thinking about you last week when I walked into the store and I said, "Hey, Brother Keith," and you had the mask on. You said, "Well, you did know me." And I said, "There's a glow about you." And we sort of, but there is. And there should be. I mean, if we're born again, a mask is not going to keep us, amen, from shining. Amen. We ought to be, and we are walking ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we're not allowing that victory in our life, and we're walking around, and we want to witness to people, and we want to testify to folks, and it looks like we just lost our last friend, and there's such a frown on our face, you know, that kind of puts that little square right up there. That's a stressful frown. People are going to wonder, if that's born-again experience, I'm not sure if I want that. And so many times we let those outside things affect us. But when we allow that victory to work, glory to God. When we allow that victory to operate in our life, because things may not look good, but that's all right. I know God's going to take care of everything. Why? Because I got confidence. I got confidence. Amen. You know, what is that? Worry comes, that song, from time to time. But that's all right. I'm not the worrying kind because I got confidence. What gives us confidence? That victory that is within us. What gives us that victory? The infilling of the Spirit of God. How do we use that? Through faith. Faith. Faith, calling those things done when we can't see the evidence. That's what faith is. So tonight I ask you and I urge you to use that key of faith. Be an overcomer. Have the mindset that I am a winner either way. Brother Thomas testifies about that. Even when he was going through his bypasses, in the hospital, he was telling everybody. He said, "I'm okay. If the Lord heals me, I'm okay. If I go home, I'm okay. I'm a winner either way." That's a mindset. That's using faith because he had victory even in a situation that it didn't look like it was victorious. But that's what's so great about it, and that's what will make an impact on the world when they see how you handle situations. When they see how mother testifies about a child whose arm is bent, and she calls it straight, and God honors that and straightens that arm. So many things. Our situation with Kevin, when the doctors told us, take him home, he probably won't live to be school age, and that's when that scripture, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. God gave us to that scripture on a Tuesday night. That next Wednesday, three doctors called us in and told us the sad news, basically, that there's nothing else that we can do. Take him home. He's only got about a 50% chance of life. He just turned 42. No, he's still got some problems, but you know what? Victory. We had to use the victory that was in us, and it didn't look victorious. It didn't look like things were going to work out. But that's when God works. He likes to work when nothing else will. Amen? If God's ever done that in your life, can you just give him a wave, a testimony tonight? Oh, he looks 100%. Looks like God has done something for each and every one of us. May God bless you. We love you with all of our heart. Appreciate you coming out on a Wednesday night. Take this scripture to heart. Study it. Study it. Study in John there and apply it to our life. And we need to live a victorious life. And don't let the things of this world dictate to your victory or not. Let your victory dictate to the things in the world. Amen. What is it making the best of a bad situation? And we as children of God, we're the ones that's got to hold the light really, really high right now because we're in a dark world. Amen. People are looking this way and that way and looking everybody else to try to pull them out of this doldrum. But the only thing that I see is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know what? All of this is going to be over one of these days. But you know, we're going to have a great home to go to. A wonderful home prepared by the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you stand tonight? God bless you. Thank you again for coming out on a Wednesday night. Hope and pray that you have a blessed evening as we prepare to have our prayer of dismissal. We want to assure you that this altar is open. If you have a need tonight, whatever the situation may be, if you just want a refreshing, if you have a need for your body, if you're sick and afflicted, we believe in anointing with oil, praying the prayer of faith. Amen. And I believe that God will deliver. So as we bow our heads in prayer, if there's one that would like to come forward tonight, this altar is open. I will assure you we will pray with you and we'll pray for you. Amen.